Caught Offside with Andrew Gunling and J.J. Devaney.
Rakitic save, Caballero. Kovacic onside. Rakitic, empty net. Croatia running away from Argentina.
What a goal. And what a performance.
Oh, yes. Caught Offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Andrew Gunling and J.J. Devaney, Fox Sports, on the call. Argentina, Croatia. What's up, brother?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, man, what a day. Another big day in Russia. We will get to all of that Lionel Messi stuff. People just coming out of the woodwork to destroy his legacy. And
slander.
He's essentially a nobody of the sport if you were on Twitter today. Or if you were talking to people who are casual fans. Not to be that guy who is like, oh, look, I follow this, so I'm above. No, I love when casual fans hop on board. That's one of the fun things about this time of year, every 4 years. But, like,
know your role.
But
guys,
it's only funny to me when people who don't really watch the sport year round start passing judgment on players' legacies. Like, that feels unfair to me and borderline ridiculous. But nevertheless, we'll get to all that. What's going on, man? You're enjoying all this?
I am. Yesterday was a bit of a down day, I think, to be fair.
Yeah.
A lot of 1-0s. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's enjoyable. It's I'm still no wiser as to who's going to win this thing.
Yeah.
But then again,
totally agree.
We need a ton of teams to play their second games yet. So what am I even talking about?
It's extremely premature in trying to decide something like that. Boy, this shows my growth in terms of the sport. Now, this is the World Cup, obviously, so like all of life stops essentially for guys like you and I while this is happening. But if I had to tell you what like my favorite underrated sporting event of the year is year to year, it's the NBA draft. So we've got both TVs on here in front of us.
Why?
I've got the NBA draft going. It's just one of those things because, you know, I love college basketball, and I love the NBA, and the NBA draft is where those two things meet. My group of friends and I, right now, I've got a whole text chain and email chain going because we all fill out our mock drafts. We throw down a little bit of money, and whoever has the most correct at the end of the night takes home the pot. We used to do – I don't know if you get in trouble for saying things like this, but whatever. We used to actually have like a drinking game that went along. Like every time somebody was described, oh, he's
– Crazy
he's,
guys.
He's, you know, if a Syracuse player got drafted, it was, okay, do this. If a player was described as being long, you have to do something. We had a whole printout.
Wingspan.
All those things.
Yeah.
We had a whole – yeah. So this is one of my favorite – sporting nights of the year, but I, you know what? There's no place I'd rather be right now than sitting here with you talking World Cup. Huh? That's some real growth.
That's serious growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite underrated sporting event?
I was trying to think of it because you put me on the spot.
Yeah.
Transfer deadline day used to be great. Mm. When Sky made it their own thing and they had reporters outside surrounded by fans. And, you know, breaking news would come in. You'd see the happiness on the fans' faces. You'd see how blue with the cold they were as they waited for news of Andre Arshavin joining Arsenal. I'll never forget that one. Also, you could see a purple inserted into the ear of a unwitting Sky Sports journalist.
I remember that. That went quite viral.
It did.
Yeah.
There's a brilliant, and I know we are getting way off topic here, but there is a brilliant sketch by David Squires, who does... I suppose comics for The Guardian. He does little graphic comics, and one of them is that very man from childhood to that very moment. That's Sky's news reporter in panels, like in moments. So he's studying for school, right?
Yeah. I've seen what you're talking about.
Yeah, he gets his college degree. The whole thing. He's a jobbing journalist, and the next thing,
this is what his career has been reduced to
in front of millions of people.
Very sad. World Cup, so much to talk about. You and I have our three observations a little bit later on, one of which you will hate because I will...
Because I hate you.
Well, because the one thing you hate most about me is my insistence on asking you trivia questions. And I got some real good ones.
God.
Some real gems for you. Big what to watch for, red card, man of the match. May even have a surprise guest during man of the match.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think you in particular will really, really enjoy it. But let's start with today's action, and where else to start than the 3-0 hammering that Croatia laid down on Argentina. We've got reaction from a lot of different people on this, but before we hear from any of those people, Alexi Lalas, Ian Wright, Ali Moreno, Burley, Nickel, I just can't believe...
You can't believe what?
I didn't think that Argentina were this bad, honestly.
We did an excellent podcast on Tuesday where...
We had a lot of questions about them, but I come at that from the sense of, we had questions about them, and those questions revolved more around, I don't think they're good enough to make a real run to win this thing. Not, I don't think they're good enough to not get out of the group. We knew it was a difficult group, and we knew there was depth to it, but I know we can talk about problems in defense and how thin they are at fullback and yada, 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 not being able to mesh together in attack. But we thought with a new manager coming in who was supposed to bring an identity, a motivated Messi, with legacy issues and things like that. I don't know. I just didn't expect just such like a lifeless performance.
But this was flagged. I mean, have you got some kind of short-term amnesia?
No.
Tim Vickery spoke to us and he laid out what you laid out right there. This team doesn't have an identity or a way of playing. Now, you could accuse a good few teams of that in this World Cup, but they seem to be systematically falling apart in a way that a lot of the other big teams aren't. When Tim said to me the experiment with three at the back, which they showcased today, just fear, a cold sweat would run down your back when you think about that. You haven't got fullbacks. Ergo, you probably don't have fully understanding functioning wingbacks. Doing that is just mental, crazy stuff. Now, I think if we look at it in terms of what happened in the game, Croatia were good and have good players in Rakitic and Modric and enough, what would you say, role players to make this thing work. Lovren at the back throwing himself in front of things.
More than role players.
Mandzukic, guys like that. Good, yes. Solid players. Rebic, who was... weirdly awful and yet weirdly good today.
Yeah.
But they have enough to get by and to be a functioning team. They did some things in the first half, had a few chances. Argentina, we'll say, for example, the Mandzukic header that went wide, the Perez open goal that went wide. And the game is finally balanced until something that we could not have predicted happened. And Willy Caballero kicks a ball straight to Rebic, who... to his credit, didn't even bother trying to control it and slot it home. Just volleyed it straight above him and into the roof of the net. You can't account for these things.
You're absolutely right. And the best way to describe, if you didn't actually see what Willy Caballero did today, RJ Santillo, who works here with us at ESPN New York, he described it perfectly. It's like when you're playing FIFA and you pass it back to your keeper and you just kind of like, you hit the square button on PlayStation's controller just too quickly. You don't hold it down long enough. And you think, oh, no, what have I... And before it's over, it's too late and you're picking the ball up out of the back of your net. It was like that. It was like he tapped the square button instead of holding it for a longer period of time. It was incredible.
And now, straight after that, the body language, which wasn't good from any of the Argentinian players, in particular their talisman Messi, just dropped. The shoulder slumped.
Can I stop you for one sec and focus on that? Even a little bit more so.
Mm.
Can we even rewind from that first goal going in? You and I have watched a lot of this sport. Countless number of hours.
Way too much.
Every time I've ever seen the national anthem being played before a match, you get the stock footage of everyone either singing along or just looking focused and serious. JJ, have you ever seen anyone reacting the way that Leo Messi was during the national anthem of that game? It was weird.
Yeah.
It looked to me, I don't want to read too deeply into something that maybe isn't there, but having watched the way he played after that and his body language throughout and his body language at the end of the Iceland match when he was standing at midfield, he looked defeated before they even kicked that ball off. I mean, he just looked like his morale had been crushed, whether it be from outside pressure, whether it be from internal pressure. He just looked like a broken guy before that game even kicked off.
I mean, we have seen it before, but it's usually after a Copa America final.
Right, not before a game. I mean, they did draw with Iceland. Like, they still easily controlled their own destiny, and he just looked defeated.
I think if you look at that midfield, look at the three at the back, Mercado, Otamendi, Tagliafico. All right, just look at that. you've got worries straight away. And then you look at kind of what is ostensibly the midfield four. Mascherano, fine, but he can't do it on his own. Perez, Acuna, Salvio. I think Messi looks around and thinks, there's such a burden on me to carry, to drag, to cajole this team, and I can't do it anymore. It seems as if there's a crossroads where they were getting by in World Cups, even in 2014, Andrew. They got by. They weren't brilliant. And then he looks and he sees somebody who I can combine with. He's got Metsa to the side of him. He's got Aguero up front, okay. But I think when the minute Sampaoli decided to drop Angel Di Maria, like, there has to be somebody else as a creative force. It can't all be Messi. And when you take Di Maria out of it, what is there? It's so poor.
And subbing Aguero off at in the 54th panic minute.
Absolute panic stations. Yeah. And I thought, first of all, they didn't get any really good crosses into the box. And you have to pick Higuain out of a forest of bodies because they were so outmatched at the back there. It just seemed as if, you know, let's just throw something at the wall and see what happens. Sampaoli looked, talk about Messi's body language, Sampaoli never looked settled. Interesting quote from after the game. Sampaoli said, the players did not adapt and the project failed. And Aguero's response to that apparently was, let him say what he wants. Which, if you saw Aguero, we're talking about body language, Aguero's body language when he came off was, I mean, he was seemed to be utterly baffled, bemused, and crestfallen, all those
and
things together.
And he was like frozen solid on the bench when the game ended, didn't move. I mean, he was clearly seething inside. Yeah, I don't know, you can't help but wonder, is the Lanzini injury just way more impactful than we might have thought?
No, but you see, and I don't want to crush you for that because we got... I felt bad for people who wanted to see more from this Argentina team who were throwing names out, like Dybala mainly was the one that came up. But
but
you talk to anybody who's watched them in depth over qualification and the experiments with Dybala and Icardi and guys like this. I mean, Tim will tell you they don't work because they want to occupy the same space as Messi. And you end up in scenarios where they're on top of each other. Nobody knows what their role is. I thought the best thing to do was to try and find a way to shift or deflect attention from Messi. And it's interesting, Miguel Delaney in his match report said, look, Messi was too high up, so often the ball was coming in and it was sailing over his head. So why not make him kind of like the tempo setter, get him to drop deep, pick the ball up, much like what Modric was doing for Croatia, and kind of spray it and trying to get the other guys working. But that only works if those guys are capable of being creative in themselves, and they're not.
Let's talk a little bit more about Messi. Here was Alexi Lalas on Fox Sports immediately after the game.
I think when you look at this Argentinian performance, I mean, this was an Argentina team devoid of organization, devoid of creativity, and ultimately devoid of heart. And in the moment when his team needed him the most, he was nowhere to be found.
It's harsh, but...
It's not wrong.
Right.
But I don't think it doesn't address anything in any detail. You know, first of all, I do think the pressure of this is too much. And Sampaoli flagged it up in his book beforehand. This is too much pressure for him. It's a gun to his head. He clearly can't handle it.
That's troubling to me, that the best player in the history of this sport is unable to handle extreme pressure.
It's not the extreme... Okay, here's an example. Let's rewind to last season. The pressure when Cavani scores that goal at Barcelona in the Champions League to put that game, from what the casual observer would have said, out of sight. I would have loved to have a quick snapshot of Messi's body language then, because he had Neymar and Suarez around him, Busquets, guys like this, and there was still hope. He doesn't have those people around him. He has nobody with which to defer to. Nobody to carry the load with him. It's all on him, and you're trying to accommodate guys into a role. Like, I honestly don't think Lanzini, Dybala, Icardi are going to make a difference to that team. I just don't.
See, I feel like we're being revisionist in saying that, because all season long we talk about how great Icardi is and Dybala and Aguero, like Di Maria. These are all names that we routinely mention as great, truly great players in the game. But now when we're talking about Messi, we're making excuses for him and saying things like, oh, well, he's got no one around. He's got no one to help him.
Well, no.
2 months ago, these were great players.
Well, no. The manager hasn't found a way, a formation, a system to put them in alongside him for it all to work and click together. When they do play together, they end up in like this mess. That's what's happened. And look, Dybala was there. He came in. What did he do?
You're right.
But he threw him in and I didn't know, like, well, what's his role here? He cut in once from, I think, the right-hand side and smashed one over the bar or something like that. And it's not that Dybala is a bad player, but he's a clearly defined role at Juventus. And look, it does come down a lot to Sampaoli. Like, what was your plan, man?
Yeah, I'm just surprised. Luka Modric said after the game that their plan was to take Messi out of the game. And it's just surprising to me that with some of these other guys
on Argentina...
But
they made it easy. They made it easy because they played him so high up. He was always close to Croatian midfielders instead of dropping off. It wasn't like Croatia didn't leave space. They did. Also, if Perez nails that open goal, are we talking about a different game?
Quite possibly.
I would think
so. And if Caballero doesn't just lose his mind in that moment, you're right. I mean, the third goal was just a cherry on top.
I think the collective downing of tools at 1-0 is the real awfulness of this side rather than just Messi's body language and something. By the way, he's not a leader in the way that, like, John Terry was or any of those guys who's, like, going to grab guys by the scruff of the neck or he's going to give it a big come on. He's not even that at Barcelona.
Yeah, but that's a problem.
He leads by example and he was in a system where he could not give any example. And I also do think psychologically, I will cede some ground to the people on Twitter who say that he down tools and gave up himself and that psychologically his leadership skills are lacking. Fine.
And that is a problem.
It's a problem at this level in this team.
Certainly. I mean, you can say he's not a leader, but we've all been in situations where, you know, we're not the best player on whatever team we're on or in if whatever workplace we're in, there's a guy who's looked to as a leader in some way. The mood of that person affects the group. It just does. You can't help it. And so, I don't know, I just keep thinking about Messi's body language before the game and during the game. And, you know, I think that makes everyone really tense, everyone really tight. That's when you start seeing mistakes like Caballero and things. These guys see that. That's important. If I were Sampaoli, I'd pull Messi aside and say, look, if you're not playing well, that's one thing. But we can't have this. These body language issues, this dejection on your face. We can't have it. It's killing this team. That's also an issue to me. Here's Ali Moreno on ESPN FC. He says Messi just gave up.
Croatia scores the goal. There's no reaction from Argentina and certainly no reaction from Lionel Messi. I know that he's not getting the balls in the best area. I know that there are players that are underperforming alongside him. But at some point, you got to get the ball and you got to say, okay, it's going to be up to me or it's not going to happen. Instead, he took the easy way out. He went out to the flank and he parked himself out there and did not participate.
That's harsh.
I don't think it's harsh at all.
Oh, it's... didn't participate, like this was a willing, like he was willfully taking himself out of the game.
I almost wonder if he knew, okay, well, they're going to employ this strategy to just, you know, have multiple guys occupy their time with trying to take me out of the game, so let me just go somewhere, bring these guys with me, and maybe it'll open something up in the middle. I don't know, maybe I'm grasping at straws. One more for you. Here's Burley and Nickel on Messi.
I think he looked disinterested. As this game wore on, I think he looked disinterested. He looked at the Caballero mistake. He looked at some of the players on the team sheet. He probably thought about some of the players that had been left behind, particularly somebody like Icardi. And then he probably thought about, oh, he's taking Aguero off. And you mentioned that. He probably thinks the coach hasn't got a clue. So he did. He went out there and he went, do you know what? This is what I got to play with. He looked disinterested in the second half.
I think it's the wrong word, disinterested. I think he looked a broken man.
Use whatever words you want. Neither of those. Disinterested, broken man, none of them are good. The Icardi thing getting mentioned is interesting because it's hard for me to use that as an excuse for Messi when there's multiple accounts that he's one of the reasons that maybe Icardi's not there.
There's multiple accounts that he collaborates and texts with Sampaoli on what they want to do. I mean, that doesn't seem like a weird thing, but when it doesn't work, it does... It's problematic.
This is all ugly right now. I don't think I want to do what a lot of people are doing and start talking about Messi, what this means for Messi's legacy, because it's not over yet.
No.
So there will be another day for that.
There may not be another day for Argentina.
There is one. They got one more game. Here's the scenarios for Argentina heading into that final game. Croatia are through. Props to them. We haven't even mentioned. I mean, we got to at least say that Luka Modric's goal was phenomenal.
Yeah.
The way he created space for himself, and that was brilliant.
Well, yeah, and I'll get to that later, actually.
Oh, wow. I love it. It's a tease. But here's the situation for Argentina right now. And bear with me because it's complicated. If Iceland beat Nigeria tomorrow, that means Argentina will need to beat Nigeria in their final game, and they'll need Iceland to lose against Croatia, and they'll have to overturn whatever the goal differential will be, which will presumably be high if Iceland are coming off a win against Nigeria, and Argentina have a -3 right now. So that doesn't seem like a likely scenario. They kind of need Iceland to lose or draw against Nigeria. If Nigeria beat Iceland tomorrow, then Argentina will need to beat Nigeria, and they'll need a better goal differential than Iceland if Iceland are to beat Croatia in their final game. And then if Nigeria and Iceland ends in a draw, then Argentina will have to beat Nigeria, and they'll need Iceland to either lose or draw with Croatia. So what would hurt them the most is if Iceland are to beat Nigeria, it seems, in tomorrow's game. One other stat on Messi before we move off of this. In La Liga, he averages a goal every 87.6 minutes. In World Cups, he averages one every 288.8 minutes. I mean, we talk about how people are a little bit unfair to him, how Argentina aren't here if not for him with what he did in qualifying. He dragged them to the World Cup final 4 years ago. But it is hard to look at that stat and not kind of say, maybe I see a little bit why Argentina fans are short with him.
Yeah, but let's not forget what papers in Argentina said after that final qualifier against Ecuador. So they were fulsome in their praise, saying he has arrived as an Argentinian, as if he wasn't already, yeah. Things like that. By the way, Rebic should have walked. First tackle on Salvio, which he got a yellow card for.
Okay,
it's a straight red, what he did. But I'm not making excuses. I'm not. No. Croatia have something. They definitely do. Yeah. Well, they have two things. More than two things, but two things in particular. Rakitic was brilliant today. He's absolutely brilliant. And like you said, with Modric, moment of magic. But I'm going to talk about moments and magic and systems a little bit later in our three big things I've taken from the last 2 days.
Let's see. A couple other games that also happened today. Denmark won. Australia won. One thing, it's so funny to go from Messi to what I'm about to say, but one thing that I am kind of enjoying about this tournament is that when we came into this, if you made a list of, you know, the 20 best players in this thing, I feel like a lot of the best players in the world are playing like the best players in the world. All this hype, oh, Denmark, they'll go as far as Christian Eriksen will take them. Well, he's been awesome. And his goal today, it's not Nacho level for me. Nacho's still the goal of the tournament. But
it was a great
It was
goal.
Beautiful. I mean, the build-up to it and his finish to get his leg over on top of the ball the way that he did.
He catches awesome it in goal. Stride was perfect, yeah. I also think it's really unfair that Australia could have more points on the board than they do right now. They've been very good in their first two games.
I'm going to get to what you're referring to in our observations when I make a fairly broad statement.
And can I make a statement now? Because a few people have been asking.
Yeah.
I do think that Arzani should start the next game for Australia based on what we saw today. They need a cutting edge. They're a little bit short. Go ahead and start him. Roll the dice. You got nothing to lose.
Yeah, both goals for them have come from the penalty spot, which kind of leads me to this. VAR intervening today. This one seemed to really polarize people. Now, we talk all the time about the ambiguity of a handball in the box and when it isn't or isn't a penalty. I thought that I was fine with this. I thought it was handled well. I thought the review happened quickly, didn't really hurt the momentum of the game, and I thought it was the right call. But a lot of people were furious saying, you know, that's not a penalty. Things like that happen. I don't know. To me, his arm was up, not a natural position. I really had no issues with any of
If it went either way, I would have been okay. I honestly don't know. It kind of landed on his hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
The hand was out, but yeah. I don't know.
I kind of think you had to call that. I just want to give Mark Geiger props, quite frankly. I feel like he's just taken such a beating over the last few days. So he was the head, re- the VAR man, right?
Yeah, but I thought he made a couple of great calls in that game, in the Morocco-Iran game, or Morocco-Portugal game, but I thought he got some really bad ones wrong. Like, there was a penalty on Font. Font just barges into the Moroccan player. He got the grappling penalty right. Both players were holding each other's jersey. Both players felled each other at the same time. That could have been easily given as a penalty, and he didn't do it.
I thought Morocco got a little bit petulant in that game. And
towards the end, they were very frustrated with the decisions, Andrew. I thought
they'd let that get the best of them. And I don't know. Some calls went against you, but to me, there wasn't anything that felt so. I have to go back and rewatch it.
But it's often never. It's often not the big call. If it's constant little calls going against you, that builds the frustration. And I saw a lot that from Geiger. I'm not. You talk to regular MLSers, they don't like him. They're not big fans. And I'll always.
But did you see what was said about him afterwards?
Over the jersey?
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
It was totally refuted by. For those who don't know, I forget which Moroccan player it was, but he was giving an interview with a Dutch media outlet and said that Pepe had told him that he overheard Mark Geiger asking for his jersey after the game.
Yeah.
Pepe of Portugal, of course. And the Moroccan players thought that was disgusting, which, if true, I would also have a problem with. But FIFA has completely denied it. Geiger has completely denied it. And FIFA has said, if it happened, you'll know about it because he's on his microphone and every single word he says is recorded. There's no possible way for him to mute that microphone. So if he asked Pepe for his jersey, it would be on mic for us to know. And they said, I don't know if they reviewed the tapes yet, but up to this point, it sounds like there's nothing there, and Morocco maybe needs to move on. One other one today, France and Peru. 1-0 it ends for France as they are through. It feels a little bit unfortunate. I can't believe Peru didn't score with the way that game was going.
Yeah, they had some decent chances. The Guerrero chance right before France scored. Andrew, it's one of those, he's turned beautifully. It's a nice sharp turn, used his body. And the shot is just that bit close, too close to Hugo Lloris. I think if he lifted it or tried to clip it a bit or drive it low to the left maybe. They were good and they hit the outside of the frame as well. I think it was Carrillo or, they were really good, really energetic, really lively. And they are lost to the tournament. Their fans took over a Kettringberg. Like, they took over the arena. There were no Frenchmen. It was all Peruvians. It was incredible. Mark Ogden said that he tweeted out that he hadn't seen anything like that since Ireland, Croatia, in Poland and Ukraine. And Irish fans traditionally travel en masse. I had no idea that Peruvian support was quite like that. They are a credit. They have so many players that I like.
I know, and I have that written here too, that I'm kind of disappointed that they're done, not just because of their fans, but they went for it.
Yeah.
They're not one of these teams, and I'm not sitting here necessarily criticizing what Iceland do or, you know, we see these teams put 8, 9, 10 guys behind the ball at times. That's fine. We've always said, do what you got to do to win. But there is something refreshing about seeing one of the smaller teams really go for it and play an open style and attack. So it's disappointing to see them out.
But
it was kind of fun. You felt like they maybe deserved a little bit more.
But, I mean, at one point, one of their center halves attempted a nutmeg on the edge of the box. It's that kind of stuff that will get you beaten. I know you love seeing it, but look.
It's fun.
How did the winning goal come about? A guy being way too confident in an area where what are Iceland doing in that area?
Yeah.
Route one, or make sure you make a safe pass left or right. Boom. Straight down the field is what the Republic of Ireland would do. No. Peru tried to play it, lost the ball. Pogba did really well, nicely weighted pass into Giroud, I believe. Hits up off the keeper, Mbappe.
Mbappe right there.
And that's the difference, Andrew.
You're totally right, but as a neutral fan, I don't know, I kind of want to see those teams rewarded.
I think you have to try and find a mix between turgidity, being tough to beat, and being exciting. And honestly, I don't care. They have the best jersey. They have some.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, it's the nicest jersey of the tournament. It's so good. It's got elements of throwback. It's got that simple Umbro style. It's got
the nice sash.
I really like it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to see them go. I really am.
Oh, boy. You ready for some observations?
Yep.
You and I each have, over the 3 days between podcasts, we come up with our three World Cup observations. My first one, which I sort of referenced when we were talking about the Australia, the 12th man, which in this case to me is luck. I feel like luck is playing, and it always does in this sport. It always does. But it just feels like it's playing such a huge role in determining the way we view players, teams, managers.
Yep.
I mean, just, you know, Australia right now, you can look at what happened to them in the first game. The own goal, Pogba's goal there, it completely reshapes the way we view France, the way we view Australia. The one that really gets me is what happened to Poland. After that game, I heard Poland were just getting ripped. Oh, you know, it felt like a lifeless performance. This wasn't good enough. What a huge upset. First of all, Senegal are good. I had them going through. I don't think that was that big of an upset. But look at the goals that Senegal scored. I mean, a player getting sent on by the official, it's just like the worst possible moment to run on and take that ball and go around Szczesny and score. And then the own goal was just, you know, just a total fluke bounce. There have been so many own goals, fluky own goals in this tournament that have, you know, played a huge role. Morocco are out because of a terrible own goal in the 90th minute in their first game.
Can I welcome you in to the club of the proper football men? You've just talked about luck and its importance in the game. This is a staple of the Paul Mersons,
yeah,
and all these guys. And they're right when they say it. It seems like a throwaway, cliche, easy thing. Well, you need a bit of luck, don't you?
No, but it's
you do.
Incredibly true.
Yep.
And it's really stood out. Again, it's always existed. You're right. But I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like I'm really seeing it's the own goals. I really think it's that. It's just the frequency of own goals that we've seen.
Can I borrow someone else's observation for my first one? Kenny Early in the Irish Times, who's in Russia right now, he tweeted this as a kind of a prelude to his article on Russia v Egypt. Great to see the host nation playing with such energy and enthusiasm. Russia have collectively run further in their two matches, 118 kilometres and 115 kilometres, than any other team has done in any game. This is from the Irish Times. Two paragraphs, quick. Whatever else you say about this group of Russian players, all of whom except Denis Cheryshev play in the Russian league, they are exceptionally fit and enthusiastic. At the end of the first round of group matches, Russia had three players in the top 10 for distance covered. Impressive considering close to 400 footballers have featured at the World Cup so far. Their young midfielder, Alexander Golovin, was the World Cup's top runner in the first round. The 12.7 kilometres he covered against Saudi Arabia was nearly half a kilometre more than Denmark's Christian Eriksen in second, and a full kilometre more than Germany's Toni Kroos in sixth. His midfield colleague, Igor Gazinski, was in fourth place overall. That's an observation that I have noticed, that I am not casting aspersions on. I'm not saying anything. I'm going to throw it out there to people and let them make up their own minds. But that is a very, very interesting stat. Another interesting stat is over their two games that they've played so far, they've only been in possession of the ball for 48 minutes. They don't need the ball to win right now. Their running is exceptional. I'm wondering how far they can go.
Yeah, as am I. And Russia were one of my observations as well. And it's a quick one, and it is also a stat. As you all know, they've won their two games 5-0 and 3-1. They've scored 8 goals so far in this tournament through two games. I have in front of me your 2010 World Cup champion Spain's schedule, their fixture list from their World Cup run. All the way through that entire tournament, Spain scored 8 goals. Russia have already scored as many goals in two games as Spain did in their entire World Cup title run since 2010. That's amazing.
Yeah, no matter what you say, this is a remarkable turnaround. Even if the quality of opposition has not been 100%, it hasn't been as tough as other teams have faced, we'll put it that way, because Saudi Arabia are not good. But
we didn't think Russia was that good, so I feel like we do have to give
them some
credit.
Struggle in their opening game. We thought they'd lose to Egypt. So
yeah. Let's see. You want to give your last one?
My last one, is it? All right, I'll give you.
Well, we each had three, right? How many do you have?
This one and a quick one. Come on, we're only doing two podcasts a week. The Russian political theorist Trotsky once said, "You may not be in." What? Don't go oi. Don't go oi.
You just think you're better than everyone.
No,
you?
But he said, "You may not be interested in strategy, but strategy is interested in you." Well, Andrew, I'm not sure systems and strategy are particularly interested in this World Cup. I spent the morning trying to figure out why Pogba was so deep and quite what Jay Champ was doing with his team until Pogba breaks free from the shackles, wins a tackle, slid in a ball which led to the Mbappe goal, like I said before. We spent the last pod talking tactics with Tim Vickery vis-a-vis Brazil and Argentina. I think moments of brilliance or luck and persistence will be key as the tournament advances, and not the systems we associated with, like, say, Brazil in 1970, Germany in 2014, or even Spain in 10, tiki-taka. Even Croatia profited more from chaos and upheaval in their opponents and a moment of magic from Modric than any master plan.
Own goals plus set pieces equal
plus
the 2018 World Cup.
Plus individual brilliance as well. And my final one, it's completely evident to me, Andrew, both by volume of games and quality in this tournament, that the 48-man World Cup is frankly mad, bloated and a hideous prospect.
Yeah, and that's not to say, I agree with you, that's not to say that I have not enjoyed this World Cup, but you're
that's
right.
That's not to say that.
But there are certain teams that you look at and you say there's not a ton of quality there, but they're here. Now we're going to add 16 other teams
that wouldn't
that
ordinarily
I shudder
make
to
it.
Think.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Right.
So hopefully all these nations, you got 8 years to figure it out. Let's get good, everybody. Let's get good. My last one for you, it's Ronaldo, because he needs to be mentioned.
With always.
But he does, because what he's doing right now is fantastic. I've compiled here, in honor of what he's done so far, trivia questions that I would like for you to answer.
Trivia after a long day. Okay.
Ronaldo is now just the second player ever to score at least 4 goals at a World Cup after turning 33. Can you name the other player?
After
at least 4 goals at a World Cup.
Davor Šuker.
No.
Oh.
Roger Milla of Cameroon.
Oh, what?
1990.
Whoa. Who was like 38 in 90 and came back in 94, 42.
Ready for another one?
Oh, that was
you're
a good
one.
Oh, man, I just jumped in on that one. That was silly.
Ronaldo's the first player with 4 goals through his team's first 2 World Cup games since this player did it in 2002.
Big Ronaldo.
No.
Oh.
Miroslav Klose.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
He had the goals against
that
Saudi Arabia and Ireland. Oh, these are obvious.
I think, like, all of them were headers, too. I felt like he's just, yeah. And last one for you, if you're to salvage any pride and dignity. Ronaldo has 7 World Cup goals, trailing this Portuguese legend by just 2 goals for the most in his nation's history. This is a layup.
Eusebio.
Yes, he had 9. So there you go. You did. You came
the obvious. I tell you.
I think you should have gotten Miroslav Klose. But, you know,
I went over the top 2-footed on the first one instead of being relaxed and be a little more sneaky like Rebic with the tackle. The second one, I really should have thought of it a little bit longer. And the third one, I came up good.
I'll be sure to make this a thing going forward.
Oh, don't, man. Don't.
No, these are all reasonable. I'm not going to sit here and try to make a fool out of you. These are reasonable questions.
I am a fool.
Let's see. Do we have a big, healthy World Cup mailbag?
Yeah, it's a bit Messi-esque. Brian, JJ nailed it on the preview. Sampaoli didn't and doesn't know his best 11 or the best formation. Shambolic. Habangst. It's been a long day. The thing I would say is that from the reporting, apparently Messi runs the show behind the scenes. One of the reasons Icardi is not on the team. Lots of say. Yeah,
that's from our reporting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, most people's reporting, yeah. Sagar Sirigamari. It isn't all about Messi, but as a leader and as its talisman, his leadership and body language today makes it a lot about Messi. Okay. Brad C. Messi was tied with the goalkeeper for the least amount of touches for Argentina in the first half. That's a systems failure. Petey, after seeing Croatia run over Argentina, have they quietly made themselves the team no one wants to play going into the knockout rounds? They are solid at every position across the field and their physical play wears teams down. He's making a very good point there. They look a big, strong side. I hate to bring it down to those things when you've got tacticians and technicians like Modric and Rakitic in the side, but Mandzukic, guys like
that. But that's what's scary about them is that they have both.
There was a couple of balls, diagonal balls over the top, particularly the one for the Mandzukic header. That it just saw how completely outmatched Argentina were from a physical standpoint too. Danny.
Real quick, I just want to check one thing. You keep that last one there. I have my World Cup bracket over there, and I just want to see now, because he says, are Croatia the team that no one wants to play? And I'm curious now who they'll be lining up against potentially. You keep going.
Well,
go on.
Okay. Jamel Murray. Having fun re-listening to Atsio Soccer Pod preview of the hashtag World Cup based on what's happened thus far. Croatia goals. That's, well, I added in the Croatia goals because it was something we talked about. We did say where they're going to get the goals from. And to be honest with you, in the first game against Nigeria, Nigeria were poor, so you could give us a pass on that. They've scored three against Argentina today, yeah. And we know where some of the goals came from, just Willy Caballero. But we couldn't have predicted that. We couldn't have seen that. And I honestly don't think that they're suddenly going to be a goal-laden team. But Jamel Murray, you are dead right to look back at us and laugh at us for our silly predictions.
So with Croatia winning this group,
yeah,
they will most likely face Denmark.
And you'd fancy them.
Boy, that's I like that game. It's a good game.
It's not a good game.
It's a very good game. I'm very intrigued.
Denmark will be. I mean, it's
tremendous game.
It's intriguing, but let's remember, tournament football doesn't mean it. It's intriguing doesn't equal fun. Denmark could be quite, as Martin O'Neill said on Fox yesterday, obdurate. He comes in after 5 minutes and drops obdurate on the panel. Rob Stone didn't know where to look. Finally, Danny, thoughts on the fine and threats of losing points in their next match for Mexico if the goalie chant continues? Question mark. Hypocritical considering the FIFA World Cup is in Russia, don't you think?
Fair point. You know what I would like to see? We're in an age now where whether people like it or not, athletes are being politicized. They're becoming more socially aware and socially active. If there are players on that Mexican team that don't love that their fans are doing that,
yeah,
I would like them to say that. I would like to hear that come from players on that team.
Yeah,
I think that would carry
take
more
leadership.
Weight. That would carry more. The fans don't care about these FIFA fines. It doesn't mean anything to these people.
No, it doesn't. And Mexico have absorbed them. It's been happening for years.
And if I'm wrong, and you know, if players have already come out and spoke up on it, by all means, please tell us, because I would love to know that.
Could you imagine what a few words from Chucky Lozano would do?
Of course.
Who is a god right now.
I saw, along these lines, I don't want to go totally down a political road, but I saw Miguel Layún tweet about what's gone on here in the United States
right.
with immigrant children in detention facilities. You know, he tweeted about that today, and I'm all for players speaking their mind.
This
is another issue where if there's players that don't like that the fans are doing it, I don't know. I'd kind of like to hear from them on it.
It's for that very reason that I'm not actually going to say very much about that, because I don't feel like I have a very good moral high ground to preach to anybody else considering the week we've had in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
There you go. At CO Soccer Pod on Twitter and caughtoffsidepod@gmail.com. Little what to watch for? Group E on Friday, 8 a.m. Brazil and Costa Rica.
Even though you've written down Brazil and Switzerland, just to throw
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I know. They played Switzerland in their first game. I had Switzerland on the brain because of the stat here that I wanted to mention. And
this is all a finely crafted plan.
Well, no. Sometimes the truth, JJ, the truth speaks the loudest. Because Neymar, against Switzerland in the first game, was fouled 10 times. I was shocked to read this, but that is the third most that an individual player has been fouled in a World Cup match since 1966.
Which was the Argentina... what game was that in 66?
Pele was
kicked out of it.
It's the third most, so there was another game also seemingly somewhere between 66 and now.
Either 86 or 90 on Maradona.
Yeah, I didn't see the list. But at any rate, I'm curious. Neymar looked frustrated, and I just wonder if Costa Rica will approach that with a similar outlook. I wonder, like, if Neymar, if he's of like a fragile mindset in this game, if he can be gotten to in some way. Because I bet we've seen Costa Rica; they'll try to get under your skin.
Barami will text Borges and just say, "Kick him a few times."
But
they will definitely do that.
Costa Rica need this one. Should they lose, they are out. So that should be a good one. Group F. Saturday, 11 a.m., South Korea and Mexico, 2 p.m. within Group F as well, Germany and Sweden. I think I'm going out for these. I have asked Amanda for permission.
Please, Amanda, can I go
because
out?
Because that's where I'm at. And, I think I'm going to live it up. looking for a bar in Manhattan, hopefully with some kind of tie to one of those. We're looking right now at this place called Lorelei.
Do you want a German or a Swedish
bar? It's a German beer hall.
Oh, wow. Have you got a German jersey you could throw on?
No. No, but I think I'm looking for atmosphere. I'm looking, you know, I'm looking to enjoy myself a little bit.
There's a Swedish club in Brooklyn if you wanted to go there.
I don't want to go to Brooklyn, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
Got nothing against it, but I just don't feel like it.
I'll stop giving suggestions then.
I don't need to justify myself. You were invited, but once again, you...
I have a dear friend visiting
from
home.
Can't wait to do anything that doesn't include
No,
me.
We're going to have a World Cup night out, just me and you, buddy boy.
We'll see about that. Maybe I don't want to.
I do that. Keep bailing on you a tremendous amount.
Yeah, at a certain point, I feel like I just need to take the hint that we are work acquaintances, despite my best efforts to be actual friends. Group G on Sunday, 8 a.m., England and Panama.
England about to get CONCACAF'd.
England had their squad leaked, apparently, for this one, and it shows Raheem Sterling going to the bench and Marcus Rashford going into the starting lineup.
Interesting.
Thoughts? Yeah.
Maybe Gareth has just thought that Rashford is now more likable and he's more humble and more relaxed.
But I thought Sterling was likable.
They're all likable.
They're so...
Except Vardy, who will never be likable. Maybe he's looked at... No, this is very 2+2 and very wrong. But maybe he's looked at Rashford's performance against Costa Rica, thought Costa Rica were lined up because they're a CONCACAF side. Maybe he's thought Panama might play similarly and it might be good for Rashford. He'll find out soon that they do not.
Wait, I'm sorry. England's performance against who?
England played Costa Rica in a warm-up game.
Oh, okay.
Do you notice in warm-up games, they go, like, the organisers, the FA go, oh, who's from that region that we can get to play? Costa Rica. They look at their group and then they go for that. So they play Costa Rica.
And just go under the assumption that, oh, they're near each other.
Have
they
you
probably
not noticed
play the
every
same?
Country does that?
No, actually.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Lots of countries try to line up at least one unknown team from a similar region to play them.
Hmm.
And it doesn't really work because Panama are nothing like Costa Rica. Nothing. So there we go.
Yeah. And Sunday, 2 p.m. in Group H, Colombia and Poland.
Oh, my
God. Suddenly become
Why aren't you going out for that one with the boys?
Because I prefer to do my fun stuff on Saturdays.
Sunday is the Lord's Day.
That's not even it. I just mean, like, should things result in a way that a hangover occurs, I'd rather deal with it on another weekend day rather than at work on Monday.
Can you imagine what Studio Square is going to be like?
Well, I wanted to go there on Saturday, but it seems like I'm getting pushback from people. Everyone has an opinion.
Why can't they do what I want?
The Colombia-Poland game, though, has quietly become one of the most interesting games of this round because
it's huge.
These are probably the two teams that most people thought would go through from this group. If it ends in a draw, that will extend their stay. But one of these teams could be good as gone pretty quickly after this game.
I always forget that we've, like, you know, a pretty big audience and people listening from all over the world and all over the country. New York has a huge Colombian population.
I know.
And a lot of them are in Astoria, Queens.
Yeah, I know. I was at the other beer garden 4 years ago when they played, who was it, Japan maybe?
Yeah. And it was Tuesday they played their last game. On Tuesday after the defeat to Japan, it was literally zombies in yellow t-shirts wandering around Manhattan and Queens and Brooklyn, stunned by the result and also full of alcohol from the early morning start. So Colombians, they love a party. And this is like a cup final for them.
It sure is. This is a huge one. We'll see. I would assume James gets the start this time around. If he was good enough to come on as a sub, he's got to be ready to
this
go.
This feels like Salah all over again, in a way. I know Salah didn't come on in the first game, but like a calf muscle injury, Andrew. If he's good enough to come on for a few minutes, he should have started against Japan.
And I would say we're kind of at desperate times, call for desperate measures right now for both of these teams. But Colombia, I don't know. You got to play him. Unless they know more than I do about how healthy he is, but we saw him last game.
We got to see something out of Poland as well. Lewandowski had some comments afterwards. They wanted it more than us when he talked about the Senegal defeat. That's not good.
Yeah, I know, but that was the game that I keep looking to for just the ultimate in bad luck. I don't know that I thought Poland were that bad. They just had a couple moments in that game that just went
Senegal had more of a plan. They looked like a better team.
I do like Senegal a lot. This is the group all along that everyone said, you know, throw four coins up in the air and just pick two of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a real tough one. Oh, let's see now.
Red card.
Can I go first?
You may.
Burglars.
The bane of any suburban life.
Any life. Don't limit it to the suburbs. This was the a World Cup coming in that had us more than a little worried, I would say, about some of the potential stories off the field. Hooliganism, protests, things like that. Overall, though, I do feel like most of the negative stories away from the games have been few and far between. But one did pop up. Colombian music artist Maluma.
That Maluma.
That sounds familiar, does it not? He was reportedly robbed of more than $800,000 worth of valuables from his hotel room at the Four Seasons
what?
Hotel
he
near
got
the Kremlin.
$800,000 in a hotel room?
I will tell you. Apparently, an intruder posing as a friend of Maluma's worked his way into the singer's hotel room and stole the following, among other things, perhaps. A Louis Vuitton bag, 11 luxury watches, various items of Cartier jewelry, and 10 glasses studded with diamonds and pearls. Now, look.
What is Maluma up to?
I'm curious, JJ. How many diamond, pearl, studded glasses do you typically travel with?
Oh, well, I like to travel with two. One for me and one for a potential partner.
And I'm usually somewhere in the 6 to 7 luxury watch range. 11 seems a bit much.
I do have a Louis Vuitton bag.
Do you really?
I do not have a Louis Vuitton bag.
You didn't strike me as somebody that would. I mean, this is a shocking amount of valuable items for one person to travel
with. It's a shocking amount of nonsense to travel with.
According to the Russian news agency TASS, this individual was given a replicate key card to Maluma's hotel room by posing as a friend of his. It's that easy? It's that easy? By the way, if Maluma sounds familiar to people, it's because he was featured as having the number one song in Spain when we did their preview. Here's what that song was. We were told by Brian Munguia that Maluma is Mexican, and he is not. He is Colombian, and he was there supporting Colombia for their match. And I guess while he was out and about, this happened.
It's interesting because the chorus to that song is it translates as "Money, I've got too much money.
What's your
spending it on nonsense?
What's your record
bringing it
here,
to
Buster?
Hotel rooms? What am I doing? Nonsense, spending my money on nonsense.
What?" You're one to talk. I bet if you ever fell into money like this guy, Lord knows that you'd walk in here with some kind of like alligator
diamond
boots.
Shoes.
Yeah, I mean, you would. I know you.
My red card is from ESPN FC's Julien Laurent. Morocco's Nordine Amrabat, who played excellently the other day, has revealed he took the decision to play in Wednesday's 1-0 loss to Portugal despite suffering a concussion against Iran 5 days ago, which was very visible and has been disseminated on social media many, many times.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the physio slapping him across the face didn't cure him of the concussion.
That's concussion protocol.
Oh, and spray him with a super soaker.
This is from Amrabat. They, the Morocco head coach and the team doctor, asked me last night how I felt, and it was my decision to play. I wanted to play. I told them, and I played, he told ESPN FC on Wednesday. The Morocco midfielder was aware that he could put his safety at risk, though, by playing again so quickly after concussion. A week is the official time you should recover for to make sure that you are safe, but I decided to make it shorter. I was not worried about my safety because I felt good, he said. I had a brain scan at the hospital and all was good. There was no damage to my brain or anything. I was feeling good, to be honest, in the days after. I googled the consequences that concussion can have on someone and I thought, I can do it. I can play. I am my own doctor and hopefully nothing will happen to me in the long term, he added. There's nothing else to say about that,
no,
really.
No,
that's self-explanatory.
It's really not.
Caught offsides, man of the match.
I'm going to go first here, JJ. I know we're in the midst of the World Cup, but I just want to remind people that an even better tournament has just announced its draw for the first two qualifying rounds. That's right. Don't forget about the Europa League, everybody. The draw is out. They've buried it in the middle of the World Cup. But nevertheless, it's out. And here we go. Burnley. They won't even have to leave Great Britain in the second qualifying round, which they've been drawn into, where they'll face Aberdeen. You're not going to believe this. But on really short notice, we've got Sean Dyche on the line with us now to tell us what he thinks of this matchup in the Europa League and just his general excitement about it. Sean, are you there?
Andrew, delighted to speak to
Sean, so you're in the Europa League. I mean, this must be very exciting for you, for all the Burnley faithful. Have you had a chance to start scouting Aberdeen at all?
No, I haven't really, Andrew. You know, we're just delighted as a football club to be going to, you know, to Scotland. You think of sun, sea, sand, foreign trips abroad. You think of Aberdeen, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. Have you been following the World Cup, Sean?
No, no interest in the World Cup, Andrew, not really, you know. As a football club, we're just focusing on what we have to do. So me and the lads are going to go on a fact-finding mission to Aberdeen next week and looking forward to it.
How's Jonathan Walters? I know he's somebody who's very close to your heart.
You know, Johnny's fine. We're trying to figure out a contract for Johnny, but, you know, he's delighted to get to travel in Europe. You know, he says he's never been out of England or Ireland, so getting to go to Scotland is, you know, it's a really big thing for him.
One more for you, Sean. I don't know if you realize this, but while Arsenal's job was vacant, there were some people who were actually mentioning your name for that position. How do you think you could do as a replacement for Wenger had they chosen you?
Well, to be honest with you, Andrew, you know, we're in the Europa League. You know, I live in Burnley, who's got the best mushy peas and chips in England. So at this football club right now, we think we're ahead of Arsenal. And so it would have been a step down.
Wow, mushy peas. Well, thank you, Sean. We wish you all the best against Aberdeen. And hopefully we'll speak to you once again as the Europa League draws closer.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Thank you very much. And I hope you follow us on our journey. Maybe we'll get to play in Wales afterwards.
If only. Fingers crossed. Thank you, Sean. JJ, you're from that part of the world.
Yeah.
What are mushy peas?
Yeah, just peas that are mushed a bit.
Oh.
Cooked, overcooked. They're nice, though. Mushy peas and chips. Very nice.
That sounds pretty good. By the way, our thanks to Sean. Before I move off of this, if you were wondering what Steven Gerrard's debut will be, it's going to be in the first qualifying round of the Europa League for Rangers against Skopje of the Macedonian League. They were fourth last year.
They'll probably be good, and they'll probably knock Rangers out.
By the way, are you as surprised as I am to find out that the team who finishes fourth in the Macedonian League still qualifies for European competition?
Yeah, but how early is it qualifying?
Well, it's the first look, it's as early as Rangers are in the competition. But I guess
Scotland's coefficient has dropped.
Scottish Premier League compared to the Macedonian one?
Weren't they knocked out by Luxembourg, aside from Luxembourg, last year or the year before? I think they were.
Skopje.
By the way, he's made a big signing.
Who, Gerrard or Dyche?
Yeah, John Flanagan will be joining Rangers, as announced today. So people who thought that Gerrard was not going to just take every Liverpool or ex-Liverpool player he could.
It's off to a good start.
It's off to a good start.
Who's up next, you think, for him to drag over? What other Liverpool, former average Liverpool players?
Markovic will probably end up there. I don't know. It's, again, it's the
strategy. Joe Allen?
Ooh. Oh, no, Joe Allen has signed an extension at Stoke.
Okay. That's a shame. I could have really seen that move happening.
How much better would Rangers be with Joe Allen in the centre of the park? He's actually still a footballer of some gift.
What's your man of the match?
Oh, my man of the match is Roy Keane. There's been plenty of talk about punditry, Andrew, on TV coverage, particularly over here and also in the UK. Here's Roy Keane giving his views and inside knowledge of Iranian manager and former Manchester United assistant coach Carlos Queiroz.
For some reason, towards the end of my time, I found him really disrespectful towards me, so we had a bit of a fallout. You know, he questioned my loyalty, and I told him where to go. And one of my big regrets, really, I probably should have ripped his head off, but excellent coach.
Oh, I told him where to go.
But do you notice the way he it's almost like acting, like comedic acting. He draws you in, he goes, and one of my biggest regrets, and I'm expecting him to say, is that I didn't listen to some of his advice, that I didn't do some of the, you know, the things right. He wanted.
No,
I should have ripped his head off
in
front of millions of people on ITV.
Great coach, though. He managed to get that in.
You know, could you imagine Lala saying that about anybody?
I should have ripped his head off.
Alexi wouldn't do that.
No. I feel like Roy Keane, I almost feel like he's playing a role. Like, hey, I'm a tough guy. I gotta like always be a tough guy.
Yeah, but do you not think like, you know, guys like Joey Barton? Joey Barton is just being Joey Barton. Like, he can't be anyone else. And I feel Roy Keane, what you see is what you get.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Can you imagine?
He's one of the most intimidating people in this sport. So there you go. That is our another World Cup podcast in the books. We'll of course be back with you on Monday after a weekend's worth of great action, where we'll have a maybe a little bit clearer sense of who's going through and who's going home. It's been fun. It's been a little bit of chaos. Some games more fun than others, but I truly am enjoying this tournament. I was not just kidding when I said that to Tim Vickery when he was on with us the other day. I'm really, really enjoying this.
I'm enjoying it, but I'm also just aware of what tournament football can be. It can be kind of poor. You have to focus on incidents and moments in the game. And look, take it for what it is. It's all building up to something. We just don't know what it is yet.
Yep. Hey, this was fun, my friend. To you, I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
See ya.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.